Hello and welcome to Label Sessions Presents, the podcast where we talk to the most interesting people about all the things you need to know over the next 100 days, from innovation to business, design, tech, and culture. I'm Fudza Niso, joining you all the way from Cape Town, South Africa, and today we're joined by four brand new additions to the Label Sessions roster, as well as Josh Nixon from the Label Sessions team. So a quick roundup of who's joining us today. We have Pauline McCloy-Turtle, who's the experienced designer who turns culture into immersive worlds. Pauline blends tech storytelling and deep cultural research to build experiences that don't just look good, they also feel unforgettable. From historical reconstructions to interactive worlds inside Fortnite. So welcome, Pauline. Also, hello and welcome to Claire Dutton, the sales leader who builds people-first performance cultures. Claire blends 25 years of sales leadership with a culture-first mindset, delivering results at scale, teams that stick, and growth that actually lasts. Welcome, Claire. And then next, welcome to Mona Lisa Como, who is the person you call when transformation needs to be human first. Mona Lisa has spent 30 years leading transformation for the likes of PayPal, balancing ruthless clarity with radical empathy. When change gets less emotional, all mission critical. Welcome.
Thank you.
Finally, we have Dr. William Ajayi, the advisor who rewrote Netflix's approach to people and performance. Will blends clinical insight and corporate strategy to help companies like Netflix and Google build cultures where performance thrives without burning people out. Super important. Welcome, Will.
Thank you.
Awesome. So we'll dive straight into our first topic, and it is an AI one right off the bat. So Microsoft is telling us that we are all going to be vibe working as we use AI to speak to Excel, to tell it what to do, rather than having to learn all of those complex formulas or figure out pivot tables. Is vibe coding, vibe designing, vibe working the future of everything? Are we all going to change the way we work? How should leaders be thinking about AI and the way it changes workplace culture in the next 100 days? Do you have choices about the kind of culture you want to build, or do we all just have to get in with Microsoft's new vibe? I think the couple of you who are would tackle this. I think I'll check it over to Will, because you mentioned AI just a few seconds ago.
Sure. Thank you. I hope not to be the contrarian on this topic. There has been so much excitement and buzz, but also repercussions, I think, in the short term, this early phase of transition. And so, you know, it's difficult for me not to think about some of the immediate impacts, right? In terms of the rush to leveraging AI and some of the ethical concerns that come up, again, clinician in me. But then the other side of like the immediate impact for employees who are, you know, find themselves without a role. So keeping those things in mind, I think there's a lot of energy behind this vibe working, vibe design experience. I mean, even calling the terminology on its own is kind of exciting, right? Like it feels like you're in a club just kind of listening to those DJs in Scotland. So it's an interesting sort of way to think about this. I think I have two thoughts. I think generally speaking, this is the future, right? And we do versions of this already. So earlier I was adding something to the shopping list, you know, using the microphone on the phone to add it to the shopping list, right? You know, years ago, I would be writing it down in chicken scratch that no one could read. And now I'm able to talk to my phone, and then my phone sends it to a list, and the list is uploaded into our cloud. And then, you know, my wife gets the list, and we're aligned on what the groceries look like. So there are versions of this that we're already doing to some extent in our personal lives, and obviously at work as well. So it does seem like a natural sort of evolution and a progression where the AIs talk to the AIs and the agents are together working towards a larger mission. So that part doesn't necessarily, it's not frightening necessarily or concerning to me in that regard, given that that's sort of how these tools today are being built to function. The second part of your question is what stands out the most to me about workplace culture and the impact. So barring some of the things I said earlier about, you know, those immediate impacts and the transition growing pains, you know, for me, I think the culture becomes even more important in an organization, you know, focusing the energy on what are the values that we value as a business, as an organization, as a team, as a group, and making sure those values don't get eroded as a result of new tools and new technology. We move very, very quickly. And sometimes I think in moving quickly, we might lose sight of the value proposition that brought folks to the organization in the first place. And so for me, I think, yes, of course, leveraging new tools and leveraging them in ways that make sense, right, for a business is the current and the future. But I would caution against moving too quickly and losing sight of the value proposition that brought folks to your organization and is actually the reason folks are leveraging whatever products and systems that you're selling. So those are my sort of immediate thoughts when we talk about vibe working.
I love the sound of vibe working. However, I also do think that we all have a choice. And I think that it is about how AI is going to shape the workflows and values without taking the human away from it as well. Is it going to change the way we work? Yes and no. I think you've really got to get on board because it is the future and it's a really exciting future. But, we've got to embrace the fact that tools are really changing quickly and AI can make things more fluid, but it doesn't mean to say that every organization has to have the same version of it. So does it have to be just Microsoft's? No. There is a lot of options out there as well. But I also think that it's also the opportunity to create speed and also accessibility and also to unlock some creativity. But I also think that it's an opportunity for business leaders and business owners to actually ask about, what kind of decisions do we want AI to make in our business? And also, it does raise concerns about quality and governance and also the erosion of the deep expertise that are potentially in place from a human perspective. And I also do think that AI, sometimes it changes the trust and the power. So it is really, are we designing the way that we utilize AI in a cultural perspective? Is it actually about culture inclusion and human connection, or is it just about efficiency? And I think those are the real questions that we've got to ask ourselves, because I do think there's a big fear about it, but it also needs to be something that's embraced at the same time, because it is here. It is changing the way we work, but it shouldn't mean that we use a whole, we lose all those amazing human deep knowledge, the human connections, and actually the ability to have that inclusion element of, well, it shouldn't replace it. So I think vibe working should be considered more of a prompt as opposed to an order.
It's absolutely real. I've worked with clients that have been vibe coding before it was a thing. And I would say I would look at it from two perspectives. Vibe coding for the technology space, I think, is a must have, because there's very objective data that vibe coding helps. And if you think about the outcome, vibe coding really helps you accelerate outcomes. What used to take you thousands of hours and maybe working with designers to come up with a prototype, the ideation phase with vibe coding accelerates. That doesn't mean that the prototype is perfect. It means you can get an initial thought out there. That specifically helps startups, because from a funding perspective, your seed funding would go into trying to fund your prototype. You could actually use the vibe coding process to actually minimize the output in terms of expense, but also the ideation phase, like, does this look good? Is this going to really create something that is an MVP? So I do think that vibe coding specifically will help the startup space and the tech savvy groups. When I think about vibe coding in your traditional banking and financial institutions, or vibe working and vibe designing, I think vibe designing is a little difficult because that's very subjective, and AI itself, in my personal opinion, subjectivity is a place where AI is interesting, but not necessarily very effective all the time. Again, gives you an idea from a initial design, but it still requires that human element to go in and tweak it to get it to that perfection. Vibe workplace is more of an expectation in my mind. I do think administrative functions are at risk. And I think that's a reality. Whether you're in a business analyst, whether you are in accounting or in finance, I do see leaders from my experience, executive teams, because of vibe working, their expectation now is that their teams should produce output with more accuracy, quicker, and with less resources. that doesn't necessarily translate from an expectation from leadership to whether or not vibe coding and vibe working is happening across the board. So I think leadership teams should be very cognizant of an expectation that it's being implemented and whether or not the workforce in mass is actually using it. But I strongly believe, because especially because Microsoft is really pushing it, I think it amplifies the Microsoft very objective, repeatable work process, like analyze this table, show me the financial output, what are our prospects for the next 5 years? That is absolutely vibe working, vibe coding that can work and can create better accuracy. I don't see it in my mind. I think I see it as an enabler, but I see vibe working more as an expectation that needs to be tempered on whether or not you really do have that type of speed and output and accuracy that vibe working would bring.
I'm kind of agnostic. I'm curious from a creative perspective about what it will allow us to do. I think the idea of voice prompting, it assumes articulacy that, you know, may or may not be there. It's, to me, it's very, very interesting in terms of, I feel quite connected to my voice and how I might explain a concept to my team or to a client or to a funder. And there's different language modes for each of those conversations, right? So it's, we have to consider who's designed and programmed who we're vibing with, right? The AI.
Viber.
What are their biases? And it's still a conversation, right? So we used AI in our creative studio. And so we work with people like BBC who no AI can ever touch a BBC product. And that's fine. That's okay. So where we're seeing speed and efficacy and leveraging and, you know, fast prototyping, big organizations like BBC are saying, no, thank you, because we've ethically not understood that as a massive organization with public responsibility. Small, like you say, Mona Lisa, smaller startups in particular, that must be so exciting to ideate and get through clunky learning, right? Going, oh gosh, we got that wrong. We didn't have the right resources. We didn't have the right servers. So I think it's very, very exciting for the right people. We're doing an R&D project just now where we've coined a phrase called vibe orchestrating. We're working with an orchestra. And we're looking at someone like Rafik Anadol, his work, where he uses geometry and data, large data sets, and creates these beautiful moving landscapes and soundscapes and data sets. Datascapes, and they really have a message. And so I think it depends on what the intention is, right? Is the intention to speak to someone in a really particular way, and is the technology or the tool going to help you do that? Vibe working reminds me a little bit of when Photoshop, Adobe came on the scene in the creative industry. It's like, oh no, it's the death of design. It's not, it's another tool, and it can be used ethically or it can be used poorly. I think what we're probably going to see in the creative industries is, yeah, it's great for speeding up Excel spreadsheets and perhaps project management and stuff like that. But when it comes to creativity, we really need to think about what's the intention, right? And are we able to articulate the intention? If we're creating IP, it's about what we see or think the world needs. If we're creating it for a client, we need to bridge the gap between what is the client asking? Are they asking the right questions? Are they solving the right problems? And are they asking us to help them solve the right problems with the right tools? There's a lot of discovery there that actually I don't know if any AI is going to be empathetic or compassionate enough to really understand the kind of human elements of those problems. And everything we're designing is for humans. There has to be humanity in what we're doing. And so, yeah, there's ethics in terms of how we approach it, how we listen. It can even change, you know, my team, my leadership team is me and another man, or a man, sorry, me, a woman and a man. We're married, we have children, we live together. My husband and business and creative partner is of Thai heritage. I'm of European heritage. So, you know, you bring all of these sort of parts of your story and your experiences and sensibilities to what you create and design, and, you know, the parts of cultures that you've experienced. And it's something that completely lacks in AI. So I'm not against it, I'm for it. And I think we can apply it and use it, and I hope that creatives use it ethically and don't rip one another off, because in the design world we tend to not want to copy or ever even think of it as like it's a prompt from another designer, when you say, oh god, that's so cool, I wish I'd done that. You try to do something based on it, you don't copy it. And so the regurgitativeness of AI when it comes to creativity is already eating itself.